Welcome back to the programme. Now, we briefly alluded to this at the beginning of the programme, but we're going to go back to carbon tax and consumer interests, shall we say, into the autumn budget time. As mentioned, we'll know what's in store for our pockets in 2020, though the view seems to be around the table very, very little change, but we'll see. Widely flagged increase in carbon tax on the way. And I'm joined now by Dara Cassidy, who is head of communications at bunkers.ie, to explain what that might all. Let's go through the ABC of it. What is a carbon tax?
So a carbon tax, quite simply, is a tax on carbon-emitting fuels. So anything from gas, petrol, diesel, home heating oil, all of that would be a carbon-emitting fuel and is subject to the tax. Probably important to point out that electricity doesn't have the carbon tax, but here we have the PSO
levy. But don't we pay? We pay extra to the ESB, don't we?
We do. So that's where we have the PSO levy, which is the public service obligation levy. It's fallen in recent years, and the amount at the moment is around €40 a year. That levy was introduced around 10 years ago to support the renewable energy sector. So yes, in many ways, we're paying there
and
as
did
well.
It
has the sense that the amount of renewable energy from wind has increased significantly since it was introduced.
Through these taxes?
Well, it definitely helped support it. Before the levy, the PSO levy was introduced, the level of renewable energy, wind energy, was almost negligible. Now we're up to around 30%. We have a target to reach 70%, so we're definitely on our way.
Right. I mean, I'll come to it later on, but as we're encouraged to have hybrid cars or electric cars, there's no way we're going to get our electricity for free indefinitely.
No, absolutely not.
No. I mean, it sounds lovely now as an attraction. Wouldn't it be grand that you could fill up for nothing? But anyway, how is it done at the moment, the carbon tax?
So it's done per tonne of CO2 emitted by the fuel concerned. So that obviously sounds a little bit complicated. But at the moment, it's levied at a rate of €20 per tonne of CO2 that's emitted. And it's forecast to potentially increase to €30, which would be a 50% increase. Now, some of the latest kind of soundings from government have been that it might be a little bit less, but nobody knows for sure. Now, listeners are probably saying, well, what does €20 per tonne of CO2 emitted mean to me?
A very good question, yeah.
So I'll go through some of the fuels. So at the moment, €20. So what it is at the moment, it's adding around €50 to every annual gas bill. So that's an extra €50 a year that people are paying just in carbon tax.
Gas for cooking? Gas for central heating?
Yes, just natural gas.
Okay.
So anyone who has radiators and natural gas with flow gas or board gauge, whatever the case may be, you're paying at the moment, the average person is paying already around €50 a year just in carbon tax.
That's €1 a week, shall we say.
Around that, yeah. It's adding already around 5 cents to every litre of petrol and diesel. So that's obviously on top of all of the excise duties and the VAT as well. And it's also adding around 45 to 50 cents to every bale of briquettes and peat.
That's a lot on a bale of briquettes.
It is. And then it's adding around €2 to a standard bag of coal. So,
I mean, I can understand the coal, but I mean, when we started our various changeovers, we were told that peat was OK. Now, I know that's gone. That's history, etc. But I associate it with, you know, people of not enormous wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to heat your house in the no more than Mary putting up her dial as it gets colder and colder. How much on a bill?
Around 45 to 50 cents. And that's before this
even.
A lot. No, absolutely. And that's before this obviously been the increase. So if it does increase to €30 on Tuesday, all those figures, you know, multiply them by 1.5. So that's around now €75 a year to the gas bill. That's around 75 cents to a bale of briquettes. That's around 7 or 8 cents on every litre of petrol or diesel. So it will begin to impact on people's pockets.
I'm really fixed on the bale of briquettes. A bale of briquettes will burn in a fire in a few hours, in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
It's not like, your long-term central heating bill.
No, but this, I suppose, gets back to the calculation that's been done. It's €20 per tonne of CO2.
Right,
so it's
okay.
All very, very technical, and revenue goes into a huge amount of detail as to how it's calculated. But yeah, no, those are the figures, and that's what it will impact on people. And remember, it's forecast to potentially increase to €80 in 2030. So if that were to take effect, we're going to have to see a huge change in consumer behaviour so that people aren't impacted by this. Because ultimately, it's supposed to be revenue neutral. If everyone does what they're supposed to do, it's not supposed to raise any money for the government. A little bit like the plastic bag levy.
Yeah.
It wasn't a revenue-raising measure. Having said that, though, when you look at other levies, like maybe the sugar tax, and I know it's only just been implemented.
Yeah.
Is that going to raise revenue, or are people still going to consume the same amounts of sugar?
What do you think?
I think it's still early days. Personally, I'm not sure if it's going to have the impact that the government wants. I don't think you can tax yourself out of all of these solutions. If you look at alcohol, I mean, look at the amount of tax that's on alcohol.
Yeah.
And that hasn't really changed our consumption.
And there's more. Well, they're changing the rules again.
Yes.
Which
yeah.
will increase the profits of some. Happily for them, and charge the consumer, but shinshkelele.
Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be controversial. I think some people will be hit harder than others. Certainly, if the government is serious about this and they do implement this tax, particularly if it's up to €30, people are going to notice
this. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, and I presume it's not an enormous percentage, but I also have to presume there are lots and lots of households in Ireland where there's no central heating.
Potentially, yes. I mean, certainly there's a lot of houses in Ireland that have very poor energy ratings.
Yeah.
And these people will be impacted more. I was going to say maybe in rural areas, but even in some slightly more modern homes, you'd be surprised when you look at the BER rating of some apartments that were even built in the 1990s or the early 2000s,
yeah.
which doesn't seem
the
like...
the 70s, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, they'll obviously be impacted more because they're using more energy to keep their homes warm.
How might rebates work? They sound very clunky to me. Do you remember the water charges and you get the check in the post and all that?
It's
unconvincing, isn't it?
It is, and there isn't a huge amount of firm detail from the government here. It looks as if they're going to take a two-pronged approach in terms of refunding the money, because like I said, technically this isn't supposed to be a revenue-raising measure. So they're looking at increasing potentially the fuel allowance, the winter fuel allowance. It's €22.50 a week at the moment.
This is for somebody on the old age pension?
Yes, or even maybe a single mother who might be entitled to it as well.
Yeah.
So whoever's entitled to the fuel allowance, that's potentially going to be raised. And then there could be other social welfare payments as well, which might be increased to compensate people for the fact that they're paying more elsewhere. The next, I suppose...
So then how does that save the environment?
But this is a fair question. And like I said, you could use the example, for example. So the ERSI has said that single-parent families, for example, single-parent mothers or fathers are one of the groups that are really at risk of an increase in the carbon tax. But you could have one single parent family that lives in Dublin that uses the Dart and the bus, doesn't have a car, has electric heating, and then another single parent family down the country who has to rely on their car because there's no public transport.
Yeah.
Who have gas as their heating, they're going to be impacted significantly more than the other family. So I don't know how the government is going to find out who has the car, who's using the public transport, who has gas-fired central heating. So it's going to be a little bit of a minefield.
Can you imagine filling out the forms? Actually, I'd go cold, I think, at that stage, rather than face into that. And so that's really how they're going to attempt to face justice. Now, we hear the ads running all the time, and I know that you and your colleagues think we're all very foolish citizens, because you would argue that we should all be shopping around for the best gas and electricity bills.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we say that switching saves. I think there's a real feeling in Ireland that businesses reward loyalty. That's seldom the case.
They punish you for loyalty, don't they?
They do, and that's it. And there's a huge, actually, the British Competition Commissioner is really investigating this at the moment, and I'd imagine the Irish authorities will do so soon, where they're looking at people as to why people are, like you said, being punished for actually being, it's called the loyalty premium.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd always encourage listeners to switch. When you look at the budget, people are going to be, you know, analysing over who won an extra five, who gained an extra €5, who gained an extra €10. You could save around €400 by switching your gas bill today.
Excuse me for a moment, please. Have you ever switched?
I have actually, yeah.
Oh, very good. Have you?
I did.
You have? I'm impressed. Have you?
No.
No. Have you?
No.
No. Have you?
Twice.
Twice? God, aren't you the sensible person with all that experience behind you? I'm very, very impressed that you did. I'm not a bit impressed with you, but then I have to put my hands up. I never did either. So. But actually, you guys will do it for one.
It genuinely is. I mean, some bills, I'd also encourage people to look at switching their mortgage, look at switching broadband. But when it comes to gas and electricity, because of the way the market is set up, this is genuinely one of the easiest ways to switch and save money. If we were talking about switching mortgage, although mind you, there's huge money to be saved by switching mortgage, so I'd really encourage people to look into it. But you know, if you're switching mortgage, it's going to take a bit of time. You'll need to get a solicitor involved, I'll be honest. It's a little bit of work involved, but the savings make up for it. But when it comes to gas and electricity, I mean, you can do it online in the space of 5 minutes. It's very, very little is needed, as your guests I'm here can attest to. And like I said, it's a good way to save.
Okay, we'll Mary, what did you save?
I don't know exactly, because my husband actually takes care of it. I don't know exactly. But I do know that in one case, it was just a question now of getting our electricity from the gas company, which it seems a bit mad to me.
Yeah.
It's the exact same amount of electricity. We just have a different name on the bill.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really is simple. There's not much to it.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes you can get your gas and electricity from the same supplier. So mm-hmm. Bord Gáis now sell electricity, for example.
Actually, they're buying it from the same place, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
I presume Happy Days, just because this all sounds very good, and we've all saved €400 a year if we're very good. But we're very much encouraged now on the electric car and the hybrid, and there are great encouragements if you can charge your car for free and have it to your house for free. That ain't going to last.
No, and already there's plans to change that and to bring in some type of charging. I think that if the carbon tax is increased at the trajectory that we expect, it should still be cheaper for people to fill up or to charge up through electricity.
Okay.
But you'd be worried. I think the government shouldn't kill it off too soon and start looking
David,
to tax it
too
quickly.
David, how do you see that panning out?
I think what we're talking about, again, it's very interesting to listen to Dara. What we're talking about is a dramatic change in people's behaviour and culture and buying patterns and concerns. And there's sometimes a tendency to say, well, it's the Gretas of this world. It's the kids are at the vanguard of this movement. But it's very, very clear that climate change will not be solved without nudging people in certain directions, because we procrastinate. The thing about climate change is you can't feel it. So it's something in the future. It's a bit like doing your homework on a Sunday night rather than on a Friday night at the weekend, just for the young people listening, right? That you cram at the end. And climate change is the sort of same. It's something that we're aware of, but we can't feel it. So therefore, you have to change all the incentives now to change behaviour.
Right.
And I just think that's the new world we're in.
Right. Anybody around here with a hybrid or an electric car?
No. We tried to get a hybrid recently, but because this is another issue with it's insurance related, because we had not been in Ireland during the last year, we start from zero again. You're treated so, you know.
What do you mean you weren't in Ireland?
So essentially, I won't get into the personal details essentially, but I was in Moldova for last year. My wife was working there, and when she came back, and we went to the car dealer, went to get a hybrid car, and we were told that it would cost about, I don't know. Firstly, nobody would insure us. And it turned out that it was because she hadn't been driving in Ireland during the last year. And it's a problem for returning immigrants, for example.
Yeah.
And essentially, I had this circular argument on the phone with several insurers where more or less it said, I said, well, the UK was OK. If you had UK driving experience, I said, why is the UK different? And they said, oh, you know, it's very similar. You know, they have the same roads. And I say, well, what, German roads aren't up to our standards?
Yeah.
And then they would go like, they drive on the same side of the road. And I would say, well, so does Cyprus and Malta. I mean, like, you know, they're EU member states. And so my wife has an EU driving license, not an Irish one.
Right, okay.
And and eventually nobody would insure us. And we had to actually then go for a different car, a petrol one with a smaller litre.
It specifically because it was hybrid?
No, the problem is most hybrid cars have had a higher, it was like 2 litre, because it's just the nature of the car.
Oh, right.
I mean,
yeah.
So we had to get a very, very small one. And even then, were being, you know, the quotations were in the several thousands. I mean, like, you know,
think about all the people who emigrated during the financial crisis, who went to Australia and Canada. They have all faced that exact same issue. It's absolutely extraordinary.
But I haven't had a car for a few years. I sold a car and so I was going to buy another one. And okay, I live in Dublin. The public transport is better, right?
So, you have super public transport. Yeah, it is where super.
Yeah, it is super. But you know, I hear this more and more often that families that had maybe two cars, you know, and lots of people are now just downsizing. And you, interestingly, for living in Dublin, you don't need a car.
Yeah, I got rid of my car too.
Did you? Yeah, you don't even. But again, if you're in Connemara or if you're in Kerry or if you're in Cork, listen, it's not a chance.
Yeah.
But for urban living, you really don't need one. And it's such a hassle to have a car.
Yeah, and it's really expensive.
That said, I mean, I had the challenge of getting my daughter into a school recently in Dublin, and I live in Glasnevin, and the nearest school I could get her into was in Cabra, and I looked at the public transport and it would require two bus rides. And of course, the chance of you connecting on those two buses on 8 o'clock in the morning, it would have taken about 1 hour and 10 minutes. By public transport, even though Cabra is not that far away from Glasnevin.
Cabra's very close to Glasnevin.
Exactly, but unfortunately all buses go to the city centre and then go out again. Mm. So I would have had to go into the city centre, come out again more or less. And so living in Dublin is much better than living in the countryside for public transport, but there's a lot of problems with public transport, not least the expense. I mean, I mentioned I was living in Moldova. Now, admittedly, it's a much poorer country, but the thing is that they have trolley buses going for 10 cents. You know, here it's about €3 for a Dublin bus one-way ride.
There was a report recently from Deutsche Bank where they were looking at the cost of living in various countries, and Ireland had the second, well, Dublin, because they were looking mainly at cities, has the second most expensive public transport in the world, only after London.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I travel a bit in Italy, and from kind of an hour north of Rome on two trains changing onto the metro, €1.50, you know. What can you do? Well, it's wonderful, but you know, we can't compare with that. Anyway, that's all very interesting and food for thought. We will check your facts when we listen to our friend Pascal on Tuesday and the analysis to follow. Listen, thank you very much indeed for coming. And we'll take a break.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.